Birth, Volume 3, The Gathering, Chapter 27. "I can't wait to see how they make a tux out of hospital scrubs," said Dick as he slid his feet off the bed and placed them on the tile floor of their underground apartment. "Like we made arrangements for a wedding photographer," said Katie, working her round belly over to the edge of the bed on the opposite side. "Hang on, baby, I'll help you," said Dick, padding around the foot of the bed to help her to her feet. "You gonna make it okay?" "Yeah. You didn't tell me your dad was a soccer player," said Katie, rubbing her belly. "I don't think he was, but he did race motorcycles," said Dick. "Oh, that explains the constant turning at high speed all night," said Katie, closing her eyes again. "Come on, baby. Let's take a quick shower. I'll rub your feet," said Dick, holding out his hands and helping her pull off the low bed to her feet. They swapped victuals on the single government-issue 1950 commode, and Dick started the water in the shower. He hung his eye patch on the door and held out his hand for her. "You're the most beautiful thing I ever laid eye on," he said, smiling with the tears brimming to the edge of his left eye. "Really? You really think so?" asked Katie, gently holding his hand and stepping over the edge into the shower with him. "I've never been so excited in my life. It's way better than a new car," said Dick, trying to laugh the tear back under his eye. "I've got one hell of a blower, you know," she giggled as the water soaked her long blonde hair. "I prefer the twin turbos myself," he said, letting the water puddle between their bodies. "When do we have to be there again?" she asked. "We have an hour to get to the tailor over at Building A," he said, kissing her forehead. "Well, let's finish this car wash, 'cause I'm Pavlovian," she said, reaching for the body wash. "Well spoken, future Mrs. Daring," he said, holding out his hands for some. "Baby, have you seen my dress pants?" said Dick, staring into the nearly empty closet. "Never in my whole life," responded Katie as she brushed out her dried hair, leaning over as far as she could. "You have some dress jeans hanging over the chair in the living room." "That's where they are. Thanks, babe," said Dick, patting her round behind as he passed by. "Let's stop by Bailey's Cafe on the way over," said Katie. "You know it. I love those little egg bicker things. Man, when we get out of here, I'm opening a franchise with those babies," said Dick, pulling his shirt over his head and readjusting his eye patch. "I'll buy one," said Katie, laughing. "You need some help in there?" asked Dick, wiggling his feet into his sneakers. "I got it. These sweatpants have about an inch left in the string, and then I'm going to need some suspenders," said Katie, tucking a small knot into her pants. "Hey, orange is the new whatever," said Dick, folding his arms and looking at her from behind. "I'm ready, Mr. Daring. You buying me breakfast?" she asked. "Best place in town," said Dick. "Let's go," said Katie. The elevator doors of Building C opened to a lobby with more people than they had ever seen at 7 o'clock in the morning. They paused for a moment and then walked out into the activity and headed for the double glass doors. "Good morning, Katie," came one greeting. "Hey, Dick, how's it going?" greeted another. They waved and smiled to one person and then another, until they reached the glass doors and saw the posters taped to both doors. "President Robert Riker cordially invites you to the wedding of Dick Daring and Katie Decatur at 8 p.m. tonight on Main Street of Side R." "Well, I guess it's cool to learn your last name on the last day you're ever going to have it," said Dick, putting his arm around Katie. "Well, Lorraine asked me yesterday. I never thought about you not knowing it," said Katie. "Has kind of a ring to it, like a country music star," said Dick. "You're not mad, are you, that I didn't tell you first?" asked Katie. "I've seen you naked. Why would it make me mad? Besides, I have a new name all picked out for you," said Dick. "I thought I picked it," she said, pushing her lower lip out. "You just let me think I did. I get it," said Dick, smiling at her and kissing her. "Your car or mine?" said Katie. "That one," said Dick, pointing to the empty four-seater with a soldier standing by. "Good morning, my young people," said Chef Bailey, shaking Dick's hand and kissing Katie's cheek. Oh my gosh, that smells so good, said Katie. Coffee sounds good to me, chef. Oh, you think you can't sleep now? You just wait about 2 months, said the chef, handing Dick a cup and a saucer. Are we late? Early? Asked Katie. You just missed Lorraine. She was here at 6 and went upstairs. I think they have a surprise for you two, said the chef, wincing as he realized he might have already said too much. Hey, no questions, said Dick, holding his finger up to Katie. Oh, let me at least shake the box, said Katie. Here, Miss Katie, this is French toast my way, with just a little cinnamon added to the powdered sugar and some real maple syrup. Nothing but the best when it's Uncle Sam paying, or at least it was Uncle Sam, said the chef. Oh, wow, this beats the truck stop, said Dick, smiling at the chef. Would you like bacon or sausage with that, asked the chef. Bacon, they both said at the same time. How's the coffee, asked the chef. Best I ever had, said Dick. You always say that, said the chef. What just keeps getting better, said Dick, taking another sip. Good morning, people, said Rhino as he ducked his head under the doorway to step into the kitchen with Lisa right behind him. Now I know it's going to be a good day. What's up, my brother, said Dick, standing to slap his palm into Rhino's. I think Kyle's coming, too. We're taking the day off to get ready for this street party tonight, said Rhino. That's what I'm talking about, said Dick. It's about time we did something fun in this cave, don't you think, Katie? Asked Lisa, putting her hands on Katie's shoulders as she swallowed a bite of French toast. Well, if Kyle's working the sound, we should be rocking this place for sure, said Dick. I'm done. I wish I could eat more. I never had French toast let good in my life, said Katie. The bread is home-baked, and the egg dip is my special recipe with a touch of maple flavoring and nutmeg, said the chef. Who would have thought heaven was underground, said Dick, pushing back his chair. Where are you guys going so soon? We just got here, said Rhino. We're getting fitted for some wedding duds, said Dick. You are the man, said Rhino, fist-bumping Dick. Congratulations, Katie. We love you, said Lisa, as Dick and Katie walked out of the door, waving goodbye. The two walked tightly together down the hall toward the elevator. Their hearts were folding into one another with the joy beginning to manifest around them. People they had never met greeted them and smiled at them. Their wedding seemed to be igniting the hope in a tiny population that had been carrying the stress of war and separation. He tried to filter the rush of accolades and well wishes through his ability to remain cool in the winner's circle or while being interviewed on national television. He drew on her ability to shield her heart from a mother who searched the ground in front of her like a starving robin for a sign of forgiveness. They were both unprepared for what was about to happen. A girl pregnant for the first time will scan the grocery store or the mall for someone else who is pregnant. They compare themselves to that person and even sometimes reach out to that person for support like a victim of some disease that makes them gain weight uncontrollably and turns the volume control for all of their emotions to wide open. It had been longer than she could remember when she had last seen another pregnant woman. The top floor of Building A smelled like starch and hot water. The elevator doors opened to a small lobby with a desk with a standard white aluminum sign with blue letters saying, Base Laundry. The young girl behind the desk in camouflage fatigues looked up as they approached. You must be Katie and Dick, said the girl, smiling. We're kind of famous, said Dick, as Katie punched him softly in the side. Yes, we are. We're here to see about some, began Katie. You're in luck, because we have the fairy godmother of tailors right here in our midst. She and her team are waiting for you right down there at the end of the hall and left to the first double doors. I'm coming to the wedding myself. I am so excited, said the girl, lightly clapping her hands. Can she do anything with a purple Dodge Challenger? Asked Katie. It's man purple, said Dick as he pulled Katie close and began walking down the hall. Oh my God, there she is. You are so beautiful. Come over here, Katie, and Susie will get your measurements. Mr. Daring, you come with me, okay? Said the short, graying woman in a blue Air Force skirt and light blue shirt. I've never had anything tailored before, said Dick, walking alongside her. My name is Elaine. You're going to be fine, Mr. Daring. Just step up on this wooden box here and let me get some measurements. She pulled the cloth measuring tape through her fingers and wrote down the numbers in a small red notepad. Her hands showed signs of arthritis around the knuckles, but she moved quickly and had no problem leaning in closely around him. Okay, step down and let me get these other measurements. I assume you're like the rest of them. Arrived pretty much with the clothes on your back and a couple of changes for a short road trip, said Elaine. You guessed it, said Dick. Well, we'll take care of the shirt as well. What size shoe do you wear? She asked. 9 1/2, sometimes a 10. I like 'em a little wide, said Dick. I'll get some black low quarters for you. Raoul, would you bring me a box of low quarters and a 9 1/2 D, and bring an E as well, she shouted across the cubicle wall. She finished with her measurements, and a middle-aged Hispanic man arrived with two boxes of shoes. These are the latest fashion of military-grade, good old, made-in-the-USA black low-quarter. Sit down on the box, and we'll try them on, said Raoul. This one feels good. This one is too loose, said Dick, selecting the D width. Okay, I'll get you a package of socks. Would you like some boots as well, asked Raoul. Yeah, that would be cool. My sneakers are about worn out, said Dick. Well, we don't have sneakers, but we do have a kind of boat shoe that the guys in the lab wear. I'll get you a pair of those as well, said Raoul. Okay, Mr. Daring, you come back in 4 hours, and we'll make some adjustments if need to, said Elaine. 4 hours? You can make a tux in 4 hours? Asked Dick. You just let me worry about that. 4 hours. Now you go out this door and wait for Miss Katie up front, said Elaine. Wait for her? Asked Dick. Young man, we do things right around here. You can't see her in that dress until she is given away. Don't you know anything? Quipped Elaine. I'm a first-timer, said Dick. Yeah, well, hopefully a one-timer. Go on. She'll be out in an hour. You are easy. She will take a little bit. Bye for now, Mr. Daring, said Elaine. Dick walked to the end of the hall and turned right past the heavy freight elevator to the front desk again. He put his hands in his pockets and looked at the bulletin boards along the hallway. There were pictures of men and women with thank you letters and different awards the laundry group had won over the years, tacked onto the rubber board behind the glass. There was a folded flag in a walnut case with a brass nameplate. It had flown over the White House. There was a formal white short jacket that was attached to the wall with brass buttons and stars on the epaulets. There was a letter from a mother thanking Elaine for dressing her son, who was laid to rest in Arlington. The best people were here, protected by 1,000 feet of solid granite in the hills of Sidar. Hey, you okay down there? You want something to drink? Coffee? Asked the girl at the desk. Well, I could use a coffee. Thanks, said Dick, walking slowly up to her desk. The wedding is the best thing that's happened down here since I arrived, said the girl, pouring coffee into a ceramic mug. Wow, a real cup. Just black is fine, said Dick, reaching for the offered cup. Trash. We use as little paper as possible to keep the trash down to a minimum. Keeps the place clean as well, she said. I never got the whole single-use plastic bottle thing the world turned into. I remember my dad telling me stories of how he used to collect the bottles as a kid and turn them in for money, said Dick. Sounds smart. I mean, what kid is going to let money sit there in the weeds right beside the road, right? Said the girl. It was a different day back then. I hope we can do things better this time around, said Dick. It kind of freaks me out that the planet has come apart, said the girl. To tell you the truth, I can't figure out why I am here. I mean, this world is for the good guys, said Dick, putting his hands back in his pockets. I've never been too churchy myself, but I believe in God, I think I'm a good person. I've never hurt anyone, and I don't wish anyone any harm," said the girl. "Well, just because I stayed between the lines doesn't mean I stayed between the lines," said Dick. "My boyfriend played your game. I know what you mean. But I think the fact that we're here means it goes much deeper than that," said the girl. "Maybe it's all about the love. I sound weird even saying that, but I have never really felt it like I feel it now," said Dick. "Love everybody. That's what I always say, you know? Like, look for a reason to love people," she said. "Some people make it hard for me to do that," said Dick. "Yeah, but you're not like all up in their face about it, right?" she asked. "No, I just drive away. So far, no one's ever caught me," said Dick. "Well, nothing says you have to stand there and fight about it," she said. "I don't know. History has a leaderboard, you know," said Dick. "That's why we're here. I mean, that's why I enlisted in the first place. I wanted to help the oppressed and beat the bad guys," she said. "You wash clothes," said Dick, smiling slyly with the bitter truth. "Hey, we make people look good and smell good. We all work toward the same goal. And besides, I've learned things here that will help me when I get out." "If I get out," she said quietly. "And tonight you get to make a wedding look good," said Dick, rocking back and forth on his heels. "I love weddings. It's going to be the best ever," she said, smiling. "Hopefully, it is second only to yours," said Dick, picking up his mug and taking another sip of the coffee. "Hey, baby," said Katie as she came out of the double doors behind the desk. "Wow, that was fast," said Dick. "You will not believe how magical these people are," she said, shuffling up to him and grabbing his arm in both of her hands. "You should see the tucks they're making me out of used black signal flags," said Dick, smiling broadly. "Oh, yeah, I'm sure. We have to be back here in 4 hours. Let's go get a smoothie," said Katie. "You two have a great morning. We'll see you back here for the final fitting around noonish," said the girl behind the desk.